Hi, it's Mark Zinkowitz, and welcome to the podcast this week. The topic today, gene editing and Canada's approach to it. Health Canada has announced a 60-day public consultation in regard to Canada's novel food regulations. The consultations surround proposed changes to Health Canada guidance on the interpretation of these regulations, specifically a specific question which asks, when is a food that was derived from a plant developed through breeding a novel food? To shed some light on these consultations and what exactly Health Canada is looking at, I talked with Jennifer Hubert. She is the Director of Plant Biotechnology for CropLife Canada. We talked about exactly what Health Canada is looking at, why this is significant, and what you can do as a member of your industry to make sure your voice is heard. Enjoy our chat. Jennifer, thanks so much for joining me today. I was hoping we could start off by talking a little bit about these consultations, what exactly the purpose is of the consultations and why they're significant.
This is ultimately a culmination of a few years of efforts on the behalf of the industry, where we've been seeking clarity to help plant breeders determine novelty. And we've also been seeking a level playing field for Canada with other major trading partners and like-minded regulatory agencies. So giving a little background, it's important to know that, you know, most of the rest of the world has what we call a little bit more of a process-based trigger for pre-market oversight. And that is to say that it's much more clear when a product will trigger oversight or not. And it's primarily based on the use of recombinant DNA technologies. In Canada, we've always had a product-based approach. So it's not supposed to matter what method you use to develop the product. It's the final characteristics of the product itself. And while that is really a more science-based approach to oversight, it comes with its own challenges. And we've experienced quite a bit of ambiguity around when a product is novel and what characteristics make it novel. There was a really important survey that came out a couple of years ago from Stuart Smythe that really captured this issue for conventional breeding, where, you know, one third of the respondents thought regulatory uncertainty was negatively impacting innovation in Canada. And one third of the respondents didn't pursue research if they thought their product was going to be novel. So this ambiguity is really important with the emergence of new technologies such as gene editing, because these issues were going to be significantly exacerbated without additional clarity. You know, and in that vein, we've also seen Canada has 20% more products that have gone through the pre-market oversight compared to any other country. And that is because they're not just looking at the process, they're looking at conventional breeding as well. So with that said, that's where, you know, we're really looking to level the playing field with the rest of the world and improve clarity to help plant breeders determine novelty.
So this isn't a safety examination trying to determine if gene editing is safe. We know it's safe. This is more of an examination of the product development process and trying to decide when a certain product would be considered novel.
That's correct. I think it is two parts to it. First, Health Canada wanted to ensure that there were no specific safety issues with gene editing. And they have come out and clearly said that you know, there is no safety issues with gene editing in and of itself. And so it's not by default novel. So then we go to the broader framework, which is not about any technique, but about what characteristics of a product make it novel and require pre-market oversight.
Jennifer, you mentioned a moment ago other parts of the world. How do other parts of the world handle this issue?
So most of the countries around the world are going towards a direction where products of gene editing will not be part of their GMO legislation, but they will have some sort of oversight requirements. So countries like Japan and many South American countries have a pre-consultation requirement where you have to come in and basically prove that it's not a GMO. It's a much lighter regulatory approach than what would be required for a full GMO. Australia, the US, they're taking very similar approaches. It's complicated in that each country also has multiple agencies, just like Canada. We have three different departments that we're dealing with. And in Canada, we're looking to, you know, ensure that there is some degree of harmonization across all those three departments. And other countries are the same, where they have multiple departments looking at it. So not all of the departments have come out with final judgments, but certainly the trend is moving towards not treating gene edited products as GMOs.
Now, of course, whenever we have discussion about GMOs or gene editing, there are a number of different voices in the discussion. Health Canada has been very supportive in the past of gene editing. How do you, Jennifer, expect this to play out in the public forum that we're seeing now with this 60-day consultation period?
Well, I think there's always going to be groups that are going to be against it. In the surveys that we have done of the public, we see that there's a lot of unknowns. People don't know much about this technology, and people aren't really looking it up and looking for it. You know, we think that there's generally going to be better acceptance of it because, for the most part, what gene editing is doing is accomplishing the same goals as conventional breeding, just in a more efficient manner. So there typically isn't any foreign DNA involved, which is, you know, one of the most contentious parts of GMOs.
For you as a science communicator, it must be a little bit frustrating because we have this discussion about gene editing where we talk about how gene edited products are not the same as GMO, and they're not because you're not introducing foreign DNA. But that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with GMOs. We have decades now of data showing that GMOs are perfectly safe. How do we have that discussion as a society? How do we talk about gene editing without sort of creating the impression that GMOs are bad?
Yeah, certainly as a scientist, that's frustrating because as a scientist, I can see that there's no risk to either. And that's where it really makes sense for a product-based approach where it doesn't matter how you've introduced it, it matters what the product is. You can certainly introduce foreign DNA and not have any safety issues. Whereas I think, you know, there is a comfort with conventional breeding and what can be done within the limitations of conventional breeding, what's been done for thousands of years, and that gene editing can work within those limitations and just make the process a lot more efficient. So there's a certain comfort that comes along with that I can understand. The other thing with gene editing that I think can help with public acceptance is the a greater focus on consumer-oriented traits. We actually have a couple of members where all of their products are all focused on improving the health benefits of crops. So that's, I think that's really interesting and neat to see, to have an entire focus based on that. And I think that's going to help with the image as well.
So as I mentioned, this is a 60-day public consultation period where people can take time to make their voice heard. What can people in the seed industry do in order to do that?
Yeah, certainly submitting their own comments is great, but we also have an opportunity where you can go to advancingagriculture.ca, and there's a platform there to place a voice and have your say. There's a form letter you can sign on to, as well as to educate yourself, you can go to the Crop Life Canada website, and there's also a new website focused on gene editing called naturenurtured.ca. It's a quite a fun website that shows all the benefits of gene editing.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. For information on how to submit your comments through the public consultation period, visit germination.ca/public. And for more great podcasts, visit germination.ca. Have a great day.